Goodness, I've created a monster.
You've created a monster?
I have, and that's what Ginger thinks my wild space, area here looking out Studio North is, but no, the monster is Little Mern. I judged a field trial a couple of weeks ago there at Lewisburg, and I brought back some razor-release birds and set up a little recapture pen out in the wild space area, and that's all she has on her mind. I mean to say, but I let her out the door, it's boom. She's out there hunting those birds. I take her out to the front. The minute I turn my back, it's boom. She's out there hunting those birds. And now she's laying on the floor whining, wanting to know why we don't go outside and hunt those birds.
Phil, what are you doing?
Well, Little Mern, it's Friday. We just got to suck it up, and we'll go out there shortly. No, I have a lot of fun out there going through there. And, of course, I relate that on the radio show. And seeing the wildflowers and native plants come up and everything was just about, you know, like an Easter egg hunt every day. On there, but Ron, we have a big event coming up here this year, and it's there, I think, 12th, 13th annual one. It's the Governor's Pheasant Hunt. It's called the Kansas Governor's Ringneck Classic, and I've asked Jim Mellencifer to join us on the show this morning. He's a board member, just to tell us a little bit more about the classic and how we can get more youth engaged in it. So, good morning, Jim.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity.
Can you tell us a little bit more about yourself, Jim, and just what all goes on at the Kansas Governor's Ringneck Classic?
Well, there's nothing special about me. I'm just an old fry cook. Been involved in the hospitality industry for most of my life, and as a result, having businesses here in western Kansas that are important to me from a hospitality tourism standpoint, it became important to figure out a way to help promote some of the transient guest traffic. So the Governor's Hunt was started 12 years ago. Then Governor Sam Brownback wanted to promote hunting tourism in western Kansas and reached out to some of the communities in northwest Kansas. And I live in the Oakley-Colby area, so I got involved early on. And it really just kind of blossomed from there. The first hunt was in 2011, and as you pointed out, this will be our 12th hunt this coming November. So we're proud of what we've accomplished and the notoriety and you know, significance we've brought to hunting tourism and to the opportunities here in western Kansas. But we're also excited with the help that we've provided to both get new folks involved in the shooting sports and then also wildlife and habitat conservation. So as you pointed out, youth are important to us, new hunters are important to us, and one of the components of the hunt is the youth hunt part of it, where we invite a minimum of four hunters to participate each year. Two of them come from the Pass It On program, Outdoor Mentors, and then two of them come from an essay contest. So our essay contest for 2022, the 12th hunt, is still open. Youth have an opportunity to go online to our website and fill out an application. October 8th is the deadline, so they've still got a little bit over a week to get involved, and we'll select two youth from the essay contest to participate in this year's hunt.
Well, Jim, you talk about the program and what you got going on out there, and I just can't believe the magnitude of it. You'll have 85 to 90 hunters. People have been coming from all over the country to participate in that, and, of course, there's probably dinners and guest speakers, but my main focus is for the kids and the hunt. See, they will get, if the two that are not involved with passing on Outdoor Mentors send you an essay, and I was wondering what the theme of the essay might be and just what will they be awarded.
So yes, the four youth that participate, two come from Outdoor Mentors, two come from the essay contest, and all we ask the youth between ages 12 and 16 to do is tell us a little bit about themselves and why hunting is important to them, and why they think participating in this event is going to help them, from becoming a better hunter standpoint. So there's really not a lot to it. All they've got to do is go online, pull up the application. They can email it back and or mail it. If they mail it, it needs to be postmarked by the 8th. as a participant in the event. The event is basically a 3-day event. It starts on Friday, Saturday, goes into Sunday. So there's a couple banquets, there's lodging involved, food. So it's all inclusive for the youth. The only thing they need to do is get here. They need to have a chaperone with them. It can be a parent or somebody that's a legal guardian for them. And we provide everything once they get here. They're required to have transportation and a firearm, but once they get here, we take care of everything else. Two of the highlights, other than getting to participate in the event, are the fact that we also award all of the youth participants a lifetime Kansas hunting license and a lifetime membership to Pheasants Forever. So we're not only providing them a great opportunity and a once-in-a-lifetime experience to meet lots of different folks and participate in the event, but we're also giving them an opportunity to participate in Pheasants Forever and hunting in the state of Kansas for the rest of their life at no additional cost.
How are the funds that you raise, Jim, how are they used?
So the event is intended to raise funds. Each year we make it an objective to try to have all of our expenses underwritten through sponsorship before the hunt starts. And if we're successful in that in Denver, with our great sponsors, if we're successful, then any of the money that we raise at the event through our auctions or raffles or other fundraising efforts, all of those monies go into the Northwest Kansas Conservation Foundation, which is part of our organization. And then the Northwest Kansas Conservation Foundation awards grants based on some stipulations that are on our website. But we award grants to a variety of organizations that are either involved in wildlife and habitat conservation efforts, or trying to get new folks involved in the shooting sports, specifically hunting. So as an example, Pheasants Forever is probably our largest partner in this process. And we're very, very active in supporting the Corners program here in Northwest Kansas, which is a program that Pheasants Forever works with NRCS and the state wildlife folks to promote pivot corners to come out of ag use and to have those corners planted to natural grasses and or pollinator, so they create better brood habitat and cover for the pheasants. So we're very, very active in the Corners program. PF has a new program called the Birds Program. It's similar. We just signed up with Nature Conservancy and their Grassland Strongholds program. We've done some work with the state to develop some additional areas around wildlife areas. Sherman County is a good example. We helped the state acquire an additional 160 acres to expand that wildlife area. We've done it up in Northwest Kansas, or up further north near Webster Reservoir as well. So the intent with the funds is either to promote wildlife habitat and conservation, or, like I said, get new folks involved in the sport. So we pay for the youth hunting licenses, lifetime licenses, and Pheasants Forever memberships. We also have about 9 different counties that were actively involved in helping them with the shooting sports here in Northwest Kansas. So we make grants to the shooting sports teams from Goodland to Norton to Scott City. Helping the youth trap teams get more involved and more competitive. We do an annual scholarship for a student attending a Kansas college, a Kansas student attending a Kansas college that's studying some type of wildlife management. So we're very, very active in having those funds. 100% of what we raise after expenses goes to the foundation, and all of those funds then go to help supporting the effort.
Well, Jim, if you can stay with us, I'd like to go to our first break. And when we come back, it's going to be a tough part of the interview. I want to talk bird dogs and your prairie chicken hunting experience with Holly Hisher. So let's go to that first break, and I'm looking forward to more conversation with you, Jim.
All right. We're back with What's in Outdoors. More of What's in Outdoors next.
Express Tire has a limited quantity of new Polaris ATVs and side-by-sides in stock. No waiting. These will go fast, so don't delay. If you're thinking about a new Polaris before year-end, now is the time to place your order. Hurry in to pick from in-stock machines or order your choice, but don't delay. See Jenny or John at Express Tire, 806 East 12, or shop online at ExpressTirePolaris.com.
Bluestem Farm and Ranch Supply has got it.
Even the earliest humans used salt as a preservative. Today's stockman knows the importance of salt in preserving livestock health and profits. And nobody knows salt like American Stockman. There's tons of it at Bluestem in 50-pound bags and blocks. Big Six mineral salt and fine stock salt, white salt blocks, sulfur salt blocks, all from American Stockman. Get the salt your herd needs from friendly, helpful people that are the salt of the earth at Bluestem Farm and Ranch Supply, West Highway 50 in Emporia.
KVOE AM 1400 and 96.9 FM live and local. 843, sunny and 53 degrees on our way to 80 today. And back to Studio North, Phil Totten, Council Grove, Lake Care for What's In Outdoors on a Friday. Back to you, Phil. Whoa. Looks like we see what we got going. Hey, Phil, you there? I think we lost our group here. Hello, Phil?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Okay. Let me see if I think we had some line difficulties here in the studio there, so let me see if we can't get your guest back on. I think we might have him on the line. It's just a matter of getting him back in here. So hold on, Phil. We'll be back to normal in a second, I hope.
All righty. I've been waiting to get back to normal for about 60 years. Well, please do.
I don't know if this is the correct place for normal or not, but we'll do what we can. Okay, okay. Conference, let's see if we got him. I think we got everybody back now, Phil.
Well, Jim, are you back with us?
I'm here. I was here and then got cut off, but maybe it was my phone.
Well, I shouldn't be talking about bird dogs, especially when something runs off and I have English pointers. We've both experienced that, haven't we? But tell us a little bit about your dogs and prairie chicken hunting with Holly.
Hey, before I do that, if it's okay, I want to just kind of give a shout out to the folks that help us create the event, and if you don't mind, some of the
no, that's fine. Jim, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that everybody understands that while this is the 12th year and the event's in Colby and it's very successful, we couldn't do it if it weren't for the landowners and the volunteers that help us do it, and our sponsors, whether it be the local Pheasants Forever chapter, Five Star Arms, Gus Bader and his organization, Walton's, Everything But the Meat is a great sponsor, Federal Ammunition, Conestoga out of Liberal, Charter Communications, Western Plains Energy. All of those organizations have been with us, most of them, since day one. So between our great sponsors, the local Pheasants Forever chapter here in Colby, Pheasants Forever in general, and then our landowners and volunteers, without them, we couldn't pull this event off. So I just want to make sure that they get the recognition they deserve.
Yes, sir. I tell you, these programs that we put on, sometimes they go, and for having something like this going on for 12 years, you're doing a great job out there. Not only showcasing Kansas and pheasant hunting, but getting the youngsters involved. To me, that's so very important. And I did tell you about our 14-week summer-long family fun fishing contest that we had here. And I just get so much enjoyment with the kids and meeting the parents. And I know that's probably what keeps you involved with this, with the Kansas Classic that you do. So how about your dogs? What kind of dogs you run there, Jim?
So I'm an ugly dog guy. I got involved with German wire-haired pointers back in the early 90s. So I've had, over the course of the last almost close to 30 years now. I'm on my, I've got four now that hunt, and they're 5 through 8. So I've had 8 dogs in the last 30 years, including the 4 that I hunt today. So I'm an ugly dog guy. I like German wire haired pointers. They're great for upland bird hunting. They can double into waterfowl, but they're really kind of, not only are they versatile, but they do well in the cold weather that we have here in western Kansas. So I'm a wire hair guy. They hunt a little bit closer than those pretty dogs that you use. But I'm happy with what I got, especially during September. I tell people that September is for getting in shape, both for me and the dogs. I started hunting grouse in Colorado the 1st of September, and so far I've harvested 6 different grouse species in 3 different states. So pretty happy with how September has played out so far.
Well, Jim, how important is it for you? And you told me you were a retired fry cook. How important is it for you to keep hunting, to keep going, to wake up and see the frost on the ground and knowing the dogs want to go? And you know, we've gone through life similar styles. Started hunting at a young age. Of course, you told me you was from Colorado. That's quite a bit different hunting than the wheat fields of Kansas, I believe. And I was just wondering, with wire hair, with grouse, does it take a closer dog to hunt those birds, or will a pointer? And believe me, there are some ugly pointers too out there, English pointers. But to hunt grouse, does it take a closer working dog, or does the wide ranging dogs work just as well?
You know, I would say that whether they're a close ranging dog or a longer ranging dog, they do well in general for all the grouse species. But each grouse is different, right? If you're up in northwest Kansas, you know, Bird City, St. Francis area, or maybe over in the Flint Hills, or up near Beloit hunting prairie chickens, you're in an area where having a wide-ranging dog that gets out there is going to cover more territory for you. And early, early in the season, the birds sit tight and hold better than they will later when you get into the winter. So having a big-ranging dog when you're hunting the prairie grouse, whether it be prairie chickens or sharptail or sage grouse, having a big-ranging dog is not a disadvantage at all. In fact, it might be more of an advantage just because you can cover more territory. When you get into the high country, the forests, and you're hunting the dusky grouse, or I'm an old guy, so we called them blue grouse growing up, but whether you're hunting blue grouse in the mountains of Colorado or Wyoming, or rough grouse in far western Wyoming, the forest grouse, having a dog that's a little bit closer ranging is probably more of an advantage, just because you have a better chance of shooting a flushing bird. Forest grouse don't hold real well, at least in Colorado and Wyoming. Their number one predator is you know, coyotes or foxes on the ground. So people think forest grouse are dumb. These are people that are used to maybe elk hunting in the high country and seeing spruce grouse or dusky grouse, and the birds aren't that afraid of people. But in the early fall, September, when there's lots of grass and leaves and you got dogs on the ground, it's a challenge for sure. So it both dogs, you know, longer ranging dogs and short ranging dogs are great for grouse either way.
Jim, before we go on our final break, can you tell us just how you like to prepare prairie chickens for the table? And I've never ate a ruffled grouse or a sage grouse, but you know, they're similar birds, but I know they probably taste a lot of different. And in Holly's story that you sent me, I saw some of those recipes, or I saw some of the pictures, and they really look good. So if someone harvests a prairie chicken, what advice would you tell them on how to cook it?
So there's two distinct differences. You know, the prairie grouse, so prairie chickens, sharptail, and sage grouse are dark-fleshed. The younger the bird, the lighter the flesh will be, but but definitely they're a little bit more challenging from a culinary standpoint than a rough grouse or a blue grouse, which are light flesh, similar to a young pheasant or a quail. So I would encourage people when they harvest a prairie chicken to look at the bird in two different fashions. Number one, the hindquarters. Chickens, sharp tail, sage grouse, they don't travel as much, you know, via their legs like a pheasant does. So their hindquarters are actually very, very light, where the breast meat is dark. So when I harvest a chicken, I will generally take the breast meat off of the keel bone and have two separate breasts, and then I'll keep the hindquarters, the leg and thigh meat, separate, and I cook those different. But the breasts themselves, whether it's a prairie chicken or a sharp tail or a sage grouse, they're terrific in foods where you add lots of flavor. So recently I did a curry dish with some prairie grouse, where you just cubed up the meat, seasoned it, floured it, browned it, set it aside, and then I made a sauce with red curry and lots of Asian spices or Indian spices, and served it over steamed rice. So I would encourage people if they're struggling with prairie chicken, to think of recipes that typically they would use with meat, whether it be venison or beef. Chicken fried prairie chicken is delicious. You take the breast meat, pound it, season it, you know, flour it, a little bit of egg wash and breadcrumb, pan fry it, and serve it with a cream sauce or a white, you know, sauce like you would have a chicken fried steak. Delicious. The key to the breast meat is just not to overcook it. Rare to medium rare is the key, regardless of how you're cooking it. So if you do a stir fry, a curry dish like I did the other night, or chicken fried steak, just don't overcook it. As soon as you overcook it, it turns to liver.
Okay. Jim, thanks so much for being on the show, and the best of luck with your Kansas Governor Classic. And next time I come out that way, I'd like to meet you there at the Buffalo Bill Culture Center and just talk the outdoors with you, sir. So I appreciate you being on the show.
I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you, Phil.
Thank you. Well, Ron, let's go to that last break, and we'll wrap up this program.
All right, thank you, Phil. You're tuned in to What's in Outdoors. Back with more right after this.
Bluestem wants to know, are you ready for the power of the original? This is no cheap imitation. This is the real thing, the legend. Are you ready for the power of steel? Bluestem Farm and Ranch Supply has a large selection of steel chainsaws in stock, the ones used by professionals and homeowners who demand high-quality, reliable equipment. And steel is more affordable than you think. For authorized sales and service of steel chainsaws, see Bluestem Farm and Ranch Supply, West Highway 50 in Emporia.
Express Tire has a limited quantity of new Polaris ATVs and side-by-sides in stock. No waiting. These will go fast, so don't delay. If you're thinking about a new Polaris before year-end, now is the time to place your order. Hurry in to pick from in-stock machines or order your choice, but don't delay. See Jenny or John at Express Tire, 806 East 12, or shop online at ExpressTirePolaris.com.
KBOE live and local. It is 8:56. You're tuned in to What's in Outdoors. Phil Totten, Friday mornings here at KBOE Studio North. Yeah, Council Grove Lake. Well, good interview, good talk with your guest here this morning, Phil.
Tell you, Jim is a wealth of knowledge. Yeah. I need to talk with him more. I was amazed at all that stuff that he was putting out there. I just feel like that. So, no, that we got a lot of interesting people and communicators in Kansas. We just got to get to know them and bring their wealth of knowledge out, especially the bird dogs. And I think I'm going to try the prairie chicken again if I ever harvest one, and harvest another one. And you talk about a wealth of knowledge. I really like In the Garden with Travis, and you talked about hummingbirds yesterday, and that was just a great interview. And I'm going to go maybe from western Kansas this morning to head out towards Baldwin City to the Kansas Zen Center, and they're working with the Native Lands LLC, and they're going to have a wild space workshop today starting at 4 o'clock.
Oh.
So that's something I'm very interested in. And Ron, we do have a couple of Hunter's Ed classes that's in there. I just need to let people know they got to go to Safe Hunters. You hear Little Mercy said she'll close this up.
Yeah, Little Mercy's ready to go.
Got going. So the best I can tell people is to go to safehunters.com and see what class is offered in your area. They are having a traditional class here at Council Grove, and coming up by traditional class, it's two or more days. And the contact for that is Stephen White. His number is 620-767-3533. And by a traditional class, they'll meet like three Wednesdays, and then on a Saturday, they'll have an outdoor day here at the reservoir.
Okay.
The one that is in Emporia, and it was just got announced last night on Safe Hunter, so there's probably still some space in there, is put on by Roger Wells, and that'll be out at Rex and Deb Williams Farm. And boy, I got to give them a tip of the hat for opening that area up so we can do Hunter's Ed. And that's should be some spots on safehunters.com, but you want to get there pretty quick. Well, Ron, that ought to about do it for this week's show. I tell you, the drought has really got me concerned. There's four lakes in Kansas now that they put salvage orders on, and all of them are out in western Kansas. And so, you know, talking with Jim yesterday about hunting and the number of birds, you just really want to do your homework, scout the areas, talk to your farmers, and hopefully you'll have a hunt. But just he and I both mentioned, and the more people my age we talk about, it's not really the harvest. It's the camaraderie, meeting people, traveling. And I do urge people going out to western Kansas, if you can, or going to Colorado. Just don't think of Kansas as being a flyover state. Stop and visit these places like the Buffalo Bill Cultural Center. You'll really have a good time. So that ought to do it for this week's show, Ron. Take care. God bless.
Yeah, good stuff, Phil. Safe travels. Always good to talk to you. Get Little Myrn out there now, okay?
Oh, he's at the door now, sir. Yeah, I'm sure will. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Phil. Phil Tonn, What's in Outdoors. KVOE Live and Local, brought to you by Express Tire and Auto on East 12th near the Water Tower. John and Jenny will always take great care of you out there at Express Tire and Auto and Blue Stem Farm and Ranch Supply on West Highway 50. If Blue Stem doesn't have it, more than likely it is not around. That's how that works. KVOE Live and Local, 55 degrees sunshine. Let's check the headlines now from ABC.
Authorities in Florida are now reporting 21 deaths across several counties as a result.